a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Secretary to call the roll.
Representative Feinstein.
Here.
Hamill.
Here.
Kirschman.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
Mr. Chair, there are 5 of 5 present.
Quorum is present, and at this time, Mr. Wiley, can you proceed?
From Cottington County. I want to thank you for your efforts today on behalf of 70,000 members of the South Dakota retirement system. We've appreciated your efforts during the last year. We look forward to working with all of you in the future. And as always, when you have questions, feel free to contact us anytime if we can be of assistance. In a moment, I'm going to ask our Executive Director Administrator, Rob Wiley, to go over the annual report of our funded status for the fiscal year 2009. And I would suggest, Mr. Chairs, if you would allow me a moment of personal pleasure, privilege, I should say, to introduce a few of my fellow trustees who are there, if they would stand up and, with your permission, introduce themselves.
Yes, that's granted.
James Hansen, representative retirees.
I'm Eric Stroder. I represent state employees. I'm from Overage.
And that's all that could make it today. Our South Dakota weather and a few members with some family issues weren't able to attend. Unless you have questions of me, I would suggest that we turn things over to Mr. Wiley, who will present in short form the fiscal report.
Thank you, Mr. Brinkman. Any questions for Mr. Brinkman? Thank you very much. Mr. Wiley?
Thank you. I am Rob Wiley, the South Dakota Retirement System Administrator and the Executive Director there. I am... We forwarded to you a report that looks a little like this one right here, our logo at the top, and your report of the funded status of the South Dakota retirement system. Actually, in South Dakota codified law, we are encouraged and required to make a report every year to you about the financial status of this plan, of this retirement system, and that's what I'm here to do today, and thank you for meeting together to give us an opportunity to run through it. Of course, under normal circumstance, you'd be seeing our actuary sitting here. He got within 400 feet of pier today. That was 400 vertical feet, and they turned around, went back to Shadron. So I'm left with the duty, and I've done this with you a couple times before, so I'll be happy to run through it. But I will keep it short, but I am certainly open to any questions that any of you have. Let me jump right to page one of that report. Obviously, this has been, the last 2 years have been very difficult years for SDRS, as they have with any number of organizations that are impacted by the financial markets. Fortunately, in South Dakota, we had outstanding performance prior to that 2008 drop, and so we were positioned well with reserves that were pre-funded and put in a situation that, and we'll see the exact numbers later on, but a well-funded plan before we had the difficult times in the marketplace. As soon as it appeared that we were going to have a more challenging year, we began the process actually a year ago in December, starting to walk through what would be our needed actions if we did not maintain our funded status above the thresholds that are defined in South Dakota Codified Law 312.122. In that section of the law, we have our limitations that say effectively if we go below 80% funded on a market value and if we are not able to fund our finances through the ongoing contributions, then we need to come back to you and make changes. you're going to find in a few minutes here when we start talking about the bills that is exactly what we're doing, is making those changes to bring us back into alignment. The required changes will be approximately 4% of the value of SDRS, very similar to amount, interestingly enough, that we did in benefit improvements 3 years ago. We'll, through our process of several different things, we'll come to you with an idea of some changes. The design is to make them apply to all members. We want to maintain the balance that we have between short-term and long-term individuals in the plan. We want to take into consideration those changes from back in 2007 and 2008. And most importantly, we do not want to lower anyone's benefit, retirement benefit, but we want to slow down the growth in those benefits. The bill that we had back in 2008 did provide that we could reverse the improvements that we did then, but everyone that we talked to in the design was always, instead of decreasing benefits, just slow down what we're looking at in the future. And you'll see later on in Senate Bill 20 how we propose to do that. Let me just jump forward and again say that our funding did drop down. We had been at 105% funded on a market value basis in 2008. The returns slowed us down last year, and then this year we took a good hit. We're in a position that we're now at 76% funded on a market value basis and 92% on an actuarial basis. The difference there is in the actuarial basis, we smoothed the ups and downs of the marketplace over not actually 5 years, but over a time frame that varies depending on each circumstance. But we recognize that we need to focus on the market value. What is the situation today? Many of our associates in other plans focus only on the actuarial and let the smoothing deal with it. We're trying to approach this from a very proactive basis and looking at it specifically on a market value basis on the funded ratio. To maintain our status, we need to maintain an 80% level. By keeping it 80%, we're in actuarial balance. All the benefits are designed to be paid on time and for the indefinite future, and we're in a position that we can just work our way up towards full funding. It's going to take us a little while, but I expect that we'll be able to make great progress this year and hopefully in the years to come. Let me talk just a second about the items that are over on page 4 of the report. And talking about fund status, there's a graphic right there on that page, right at the top of the page. And you'll see that comment about our funded ratio is 105% here last year, 2008. The normal public plans are not as well funded. And fortunately, in our case, we are in a better position because we were well funded at that time. You can see in 2009, we have dropped down to 76, where our cohorts have dropped down into the 50s is what we think the average is right now. There is much legislation going on all across the nation, along with here, to try and correct these issues. Our efforts today are all about getting that 76% back to 80%. That is key to everything we have before you. And then on to our initiatives on page 5, if I may. And again, this will be the basis for what we're carrying forward in the three bills that follow, the three benefit bills that follow. Our first step that we're trying to do is take a look at our actuarial assumptions, and then we're trying to eliminate or reduce the subsidies that are seen in different benefit structures. This last year, working with the actuary, we adjusted methodologies that we have within the actuarial process so that we expanded our amortization period and allocated our expenses in a different way. By doing that, we saved $61 million in ongoing expenses. That's the present value of the future stream of the cost of those benefits. It is it was an adjustment that is part of that $400+ million that we're looking at. There were two areas that right now we're seeing having concerns about that were, in essence, subsidies. The first one is under the retire and return to work. Since the compromise in 2004, we have tracked the issues surrounding retirees returning to work very closely. The numbers have continued to escalate there. In fact, what has happened is that the numbers have grown so much that we've recognized increased costs in the plan as a whole because of the number of people going out, and particularly the number of people going out early, very early in their process. One of the highest cost factors in all this, and we've seen this here in these last 5 years, is those that are 55 and 56. Approximately 70% of those return to the same employer in a very short period of time. There's 35% of those that retire in those years that are using the provisions of retire and return to work. It was never a design on our part for it, and what has became a subsidy out of the plan and even a subsidy to the members in such a way that it was never designed. We're back today to try and adjust that and bring it back into cost neutral so that the plan is not subsidizing that process. The other area of subsidy that we're also trying to correct today is a small benefit feature that we have that's an insurance feature, if you will, that during the time frame between a surviving spouse's children reaching majority and the time the surviving spouse reaches age 65, under voluntary situations, we offer an income replacement insurance policy. That has become quite a bit less used by our members. It has, in fact, was a feature that really you couldn't buy that coverage anywhere else back in the 70s when we brought this up. We're really looking at winding that whole process down. We're suggesting that we increase the cost to bring it closer to cost neutral and actually close the program to new members, though we will revisit the subject of survivor benefits this summer when we do more of a full-blown review of our benefit structure. Those are the initial parts. The second half of our initiative today are the bills that will come before you, and it primarily surrounds a change in the way we handle the COLA, some changes in how we prorate interest credits, and also the way we pay out some refunds. And each of those will be delineated more fully in the bills that follow, so I won't take much time on them right here. Again, we're in the position that 76% funded, that we need to get ourselves back to that 80% funded. It's approximately the same increase in benefits that we gave in the benefit package 3 years ago. While we're not directly reversing it, we're trying to reframe that so that no one loses benefits they've accrued. We just don't grow those benefits as fast in the future. Mr. Chair, I've made it real quick through on what is our status right now and what we're trying to accomplish. There are a few more pages in the report that go in and talk about both our mission statement, a review of in fact, how good is the bang for the buck in South Dakota, the taxpayer investment factor, and then we talk a little bit about what dollars are distributed to each of your counties and districts, and then our SDCL 312-122, which is the basis for all of these changes, is also listed there in case you have questions about that. You've got the fast version.
Mr. Wiley, thank you. I will open it up at this time for any questions from those members of the committees that are here right now. Anybody have any questions for Mr. Wiley? Okay, hearing none. Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
At this time, I'm going to ask any members of the House Retirement Laws Committee if they have any comments or questions. The portion of the meeting we're here for today was that report. Are there any comments or questions from the House Retirement Laws Committee? Hearing none, before we adjourn, I would like to remind you, you are welcome. We were asked if we want to stay. We are able to stay and listen to the testimony on the following legislation coming up. I guess for ease of moving it along, I would ask that you take a seat in the back, maybe, so we don't have confusion up front, because we would not be allowed to participate. Any comments, questions from the House?
I'd like to make a move that the House Committee adjourn.
We have a motion from Representative Steele that we adjourn, seconded by Representative Feinstein. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The House Retirement Laws is now adjourned.